Hi, I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO. A pair of state House lawmakers are calling on their colleagues to reconvene to restore millions in education funding erased by Governor Mike Dunleavy's line item vetoes. Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports.
When Dunleavy signed the state budget earlier this summer, he used line item vetoes to cut more than $225 million. And among those cuts were $5.2 million meant to support students in kindergarten through third grade. That money was intended to help young students learn to read, says Anchorage Independent Representative Elise Galvin.
We know how expensive it is to bring kids up to speed. We know how expensive it is when kids at fifth grade have decided they're not learners or they can't get it. And that means they check out. And oftentimes that means they end up not graduating. And guess who pays for that? All of Alaskans.
Galvin published an opinion piece in the Anchorage Daily News with another House member, Anchorage Democrat Andrew Gray, urging lawmakers to override the veto. They said the funding was to support the goals of the Alaska Reads Act. Alaska has some of the lowest reading scores in the nation. The Alaska Reads Act, unveiled by Dunleavy in 2020 and passed 2 years later, was meant to change that. And it's showing some early promising results, says Anchorage School District Budget Director Katie Parrott. She says the number of students achieving a reading proficiency benchmark increased 10% last year.
And it was pretty remarkable to gain that much ground in reading proficiency in 1 year.
Dunleavy touted improvements in reading across the state tied to the Alaska Reads Act in a news release earlier this year. But with the $5.2 million erased, Parrott says the district is left to fill the gap with general funds and savings from prior years.
I think in some ways we were a little bit surprised by the vetoes just because it seemed to be a little bit inconsistent with the administration's stated support for having those targeted investments in areas that we can directly impact education outcomes.
Earlier this year, when advocating against broad-based long-term funding increases for Alaska's public schools, Dunleavy said he preferred more narrowly focused funding boosts aimed at specific goals, from teacher retention to student performance. Here he is on Talk of Alaska in April, saying that during a discussion of his proposal to offer teachers up to $15,000 in yearly bonuses.
Can't be a couple dollars now, a couple dollars next year without really targeting to help teachers and help kids.
Like Parrott, Galvin says the veto is confusing because it eliminates the kind of targeted education funding that Dunleavy says he wants.
Not just should it be targeted, but let's go for his targets, because we know his targets are around helping those kids who are struggling reading. And frankly, there are a lot of them.
A statement from Dunleavy's press office points to $175 million in one-time broad-based funding for schools that did survive Dunleavy's line item vetoes. A spokesperson for the governor says that funding could be put to a variety of uses, whether that's reading interventions required by the Alaska Reads Act or other school district priorities. Representative Jamie Allard, an Eagle River Republican and an ally of the governor, points out that Gray and Galvin both voted against a state reading institute and the governor's teacher bonus proposal.
So I guess my question is, why all of a sudden are they interested in targeted funding when they weren't before?
The superintendent of the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, Clayton Holland, says the cut to reading-focused funds will force reductions in other areas.
So we're not cutting from literacy and reading, but there will be takeaways in other parts of our budget because of that.
In his veto message, Dunleavy said he cut the reading-focused funding to preserve state money for, quote, savings and fiscal stability, similar to many other vetoes. But that rings a bit hollow, says Republican Sitka Senator Bert Stedman.
You can't, in my opinion, legitimately use the excuse he used, because we are ahead of his savings targets and continually strengthening the state's position.
He says the budget that passed the legislature put $400 million more into savings than the Dunleavy administration requested. But Stedman says overriding Dunleavy's vetoes is no easy task.
So that's, you know, good political thunder, but in practicality, it's not going to happen.
First, it would require a special legislative session, and that's not an easy ask of lawmakers during the heart of the campaign season. And then it would require 3/4 of the full legislature to vote to restore the cuts. And lawmakers have been hesitant to override Dunleavy's vetoes in the past. Just this past spring, lawmakers failed to override Dunleavy's veto of an education bill that passed the legislature by a combined vote of 56-3. For their part, though, Gray and Galvin say an override is at least worth a shot. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
A geologist who has studied Southeast Alaska's rocks and minerals for decades is creating a new geologic map of the region. And as KFSK's Shelby Herbert reports, that map could have a wide range of applications, from educating tourists to helping prospectors find gold to helping communities prepare for landslides.
Arizona-based geologist George Garrels has studied Southeast Alaska's rocks and minerals for over 40 years. He stopped through Petersburg this summer to do field research and tell the public a little bit about the geologic history of the earth beneath their feet. He wrapped up his summer research trip to rainy Southeast, still tanned from the Tucson sun, where he's a geology professor at the University of Arizona. He's been doing field research around the Coast Mountains since 1981, going out on boats, carving up rock samples, and inspecting them with a tiny magnifying glass. But Garrel says every summer he spends here is a little different.
Sometimes we have big groups of students with us. Sometimes I'm out with just a colleague, another professor or two. Sometimes I've been by myself with my dog, and then she's the geo assistant for me.
So what makes the region's rocks so special? He says it starts with a process called metamorphosis. That's when huge amounts of heat and pressure change the formation of a rock. Garrels describes Central Southeast stones in terms that almost sound tasty. All the crusty and flaky bits, and, of course, the crunch zone.
Petersburg is kind of in the big crunch zone of Southeast Alaska. So, you know, plates are moving, plate tectonics, the theory of how plates move around on the surface of the Earth. And North America, we know, has been moving westward for about 200 million years. So as North America moves westward, it's kind of like a bulldozer or kind of like a snowplow moving over the Pacific Ocean off to the west.
And Garrel says Petersburg was right smack in the path of that snowplow or bulldozer about 100 million years ago, getting crammed up against another piece of the continent at a speed of about 5 centimeters per year, or about as fast as your fingernails and hair can grow. That means Petersburg is part of the critical boundary where land was deposited onto the west coast of North America. Garrel says all that movement and metamorphosis produced some pretty cool rocks.
Garnet Ledge. Many Petersburg people know about Garnet Ledge down by Wrangell. Those garnets there are a result of this collision. When the rocks get metamorphosed, the metamorphic minerals grow like garnet. So those are world class.
That's all to say that Wrangell's garnets are world class. Garrel says the same metamorphic event formed the blood-red crystals that can be picked out of the hillsides in neighboring Petersburg. But those garnets didn't get hot enough in the formation process to be as good as Wrangell's. They have more impurities. Garrel says the continental crunch zone produced some of the other rocks that characterize Central Southeast. There's lots of sparkly schist and stripy gneiss and coarse quartzite. But there's more to his research than just cataloging cool rocks. Garrels is gearing up to produce a new geologic map of the area with some scientists with the Alaska State Survey. He says that map could be useful for people who want to extract certain minerals, like gold, from the area. Or it could help tour guides explain the geological significance of the landscape to visitors.
You know, tourism is a huge part of the economy in Southeast Alaska right now. And the people on the tour ships, maybe they don't realize it, but one of the main reasons they come here is because of geology. It's fabulous. It's what controls our landscape. Tracy Arm, you know, one of the most beautiful places on the planet, it owes its beauty in large part to the geology.
But even more importantly, the information they're gathering for the map could also help people evaluate the stability of the slopes around them to protect their communities from disaster, like when Wrangell experienced a deadly landslide last fall.
That's a key topic here in Wrangell, Petersburg area right now after your big landslide. And all of that kind of depends on knowing a little bit about the geology, the bedrock geology in Southeast Alaska. So that's what we're trying to do.
He says his team is developing an interactive digital map where users can zoom in and out so they can see whatever level of detail they want, kind of like Google Maps. But he says he'll still print out a few old-fashioned paper versions just because he likes them. He expects it'll probably take his team a year to finish the map, after which it will be available to the public. In Petersburg, I'm Shelby Herbert.
And it's sunny in Juneau today. The high today is 63 degrees, and there's a bit of wind coming from the western region. Tonight, some clouds will roll in, and the low will hit around 46 degrees. Tomorrow, Sunday, and Monday, it's expected to be sunny as well. So if you can, get out and enjoy the vitamin D. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO.